Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Good afternoon. I'm Will Murphy, news director at WFIU, and it's time now for Ask the Mayor. Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong is here to answer any questions you may have about city issues of concern to you. Now, we are having to pre-record this program today because the mayor had a competing appointment at our usual time, so we won't be able to take phone calls. You can send emails if you like, and but I guess at the time we're doing this program, Mayor, it won't be on the air, so I guess maybe sending emails not a good idea.
Well, you know, you can send them. That's not a problem.
We'll get to them next month,
That's
I guess.
Right. Get to them next time.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And let's start off just talking about the weather. What's it like in Columbus today? And I see that weather advisories have been extended to midday today.
Yeah, you know, it happens for some time, about every year at this time. We get this stuff called snow. So we're lucky here. We don't have a lot of accumulation. You know, we've got some ground covering, but the streets aren't bad yet. But this evening, as the temperatures drop, as you well know, that water will turn into something other than water. Mm-hmm. It will be icy. So, you know, people are just going to have to drive very carefully. And as you well know, it's been a year since people have driven in this, and they'll forget what they're doing, and there'll be fender benders and slide-offs and all this. So we just ask people just to drive very carefully. I don't care if you're in Columbus or Bloomington or wherever. It's going to be about the same. So we're hoping that that people just drive very cautiously.
Now, have you pre-treated the streets and all that sort of thing, or do you go just with the plowing?
We did some work on bridges, but we don't do any pre-treatment really on intersections yet. I mean, it's almost a waste of time and effort, but we will get some bridges and overpasses that we have to deal with just to get ahead of that game, because as you well know, those will freeze before the street. So other than that, we haven't done a whole lot. We didn't get what we thought we were getting, which is good, but we're certainly going to get those cold temperatures, and they'll be dropping off tonight, and Jim Norris, our public safety director, will probably be making the decision as to should we or shouldn't we apply some type of material to watch the streets. So we'll see how it goes.
Now, you've been pretty lucky, municipal folks in Indiana, so far this year. There's not been very much at all. What kind of money do you allocate for snow removal?
Well, it's we've got roughly $60,000 that we set aside. Normally, it takes more than that, but again, you're just talking snow removal. You know, we have to also use some of that for other things during the year. So, but that's just for material, by the way. Then we have the overtime and involved in that. So, and you just guess. Mm-hmm. And there's a little history there. Of course, as you know, what 3 years ago I think it was through history out the window when we had that 28 inches, but. You know, a normal year, we can almost predict what's going to happen, approximately how much overtime, but it's always costly. And people will complain about property taxes and things like this, but you have to be prepared for that kind of stuff, or they'll be upset over that, too. So I think we try to do our best along. I think most cities do that. The problem, 2 years ago, there was an issue with salt. For some reason, the salt mines weren't working, and that drove the price up and all that. So, but I think it's pretty well stabilized now, and we've got quite a bit on hand, and we'll just try to keep as much as we can in our bins and go from there.
All righty. I'll remind our listeners that we're visiting this afternoon with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong, and because of a previous commitment, the mayor is not able to join us live and in person at our usual time, so we can't take phone calls. We're pre-recording this program.
Yeah, I'm not topping out on this, by the way. It's just one of those things. Today is one of those unusual days. So
now, as we began recording this program, you were folding holiday greetings.
Yeah.
What are you doing at 12 o'clock when typically this program is going live?
Well, I am going to be at a fairly large luncheon for some employees, and then I'm headed to Indianapolis. We have the newly elected mayor's program up in Indianapolis. for the next couple of days, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to be on a guest panel for two particular items on the agenda. So,
what are you going to be offering advice on?
Well, it's as I told you, it's what you get what you pay for. basically, economic development and budgets. So, we'll have an hour and a half or so on budgets, an hour and a half or so on economic development and how to do this. Because some of these people, mayors, they've never held a position like this before. They think they know what it's all about, as I did 12 years ago. But let me tell you, it certainly changes, and it normally changes like the first day. So try to give them a little insight as to what to expect. We want every mayor to be successful, regardless of where they're mayor, if they're Democrat, Republican, Independent. We will give them all the information that we can, because if they're successful, the state of Indiana is successful.
Now, just in a nutshell, what are the top tips in economic development and budgets that you'd pass along based on your years of experience?
Well, beginning with budgets, you have to look at the entire budget and predict, for example, fuel costs. And that's been a one that's been a little bit difficult, but you have to predict that a year ahead of time. So you look at that and look at the history on gallons used and who uses them, and do your budget that way. You just don't throw a number out of the air. Well, this sounds like a good number. You just really have to look at it, especially today when things are a little tighter. You do what you can to save every nickel that you can for the taxpayers. So budgets, you know, it's like power, electricity. We contact our power company and Duke Energy and say, okay, what do we expect for a raise in the year 2008? And because if it's a 10% or 9%, we have to fill that in, and we want to make sure we're going to be comfortable with that. And, you know, those are the type of things you can always figure. It's pretty easy to figure a salary increase. The problem is a 3% salary increase for the city of Columbus, you're talking about $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money. Now, what does that leave left for other operating expenses? So those are the things you have to have to really look at, and that's why we begin our budgetary process in February. This coming February the 1st, we will start getting on the 2009 budget. So, you know, it's just you have to check with department heads. You have to just check everything and with the history, what you've done in the past and what it looks like for the future. So sometimes you guess right on and sometimes you don't. And we've been very, very lucky. For example, every new mayor, I guarantee you, every new mayor will go in this next budgetary process that we go through, and they'll cut. Because that's what mayors do. I made a promise, and I'm going to watch the money, and I'm going to cut. And sometimes they cut their own throats. I did it. I cut, whacked. I took every bit of fat out that I thought was fat. And then when it comes time that you may need a little cushion, you don't have it.
Hmm.
So it's close. You don't want a lot of fat in a budget, absolutely, but you also don't want to make it so lean that you run into trouble. Like
caught unawares.
Yeah, I mean, and anything can happen. And we're spending roughly 97% of our budget.
Hmm.
Now that's
close. Yeah,
that's close. That's cutting it real close. So,
well, now you've got, I would think, you know, wherever you speak in terms of economic development,
yeah.
Your city, not just you, but your city gets a lot of kudos for seeing ahead of the curve and visiting Japan and China a lot,
sure.
A lot earlier than a lot of other folks.
Well, we have an economic development board that's very proactive. I mean, very proactive. And we do want to get ahead of the game. And it's not a big secret. I mean, we'll let everybody know this and how we operate. And if, you know, it may not work for this particular city or this particular city, but we'll give them every bit of information that we can to make them successful. We used to deal with Columbus, Indiana. Now we're into our region. We want to help our region. Our particular region, over 30% is still in the manufacturing arena. So if we don't get a certain manufacturing company, we just hope it comes in this region, or we hope it comes to Indiana. So don't hide your head in the sand anymore and think that we're unique and we're better than everybody else, because we're not. What we want to do is make sure that we get the businesses here, if they can't, for some reason, locate in Columbus, we want them to locate in Indiana. So it's common sense kind of thing, but you do need a very aggressive board that gives the director plenty of room to manipulate and do what they want to do to get some successes going. And we have just been blessed, and that's what it is. It's just hard work and effort and trying to stay ahead of the game. And we've been blessed because we had Arvin here for so long, a global company. We have Cummins here now with the Japanese companies that we have here. It's almost like old hat. But we have a lot of work to do yet, and you know, we still have some unemployment out there, so we'd love to see zero unemployment, actually, yeah, knowing that everybody's trained and qualified to get a good job.
Now, this may seem tangential to economic development, but I was intrigued by this discussion that was going on in the school system over in Columbus about whether or not to maintain German or add Chinese.
Yeah.
Is that something that your government takes an interest in terms of economic development, the languages that are offered in the local schools?
Well, our economic development board certainly does. You know, when you're out, it just so happens, this is just by accident, we had a German company looking at Columbus. You know, and today, although people trust you and want to meet you and work with you, a lot of them deal with the Internet. And they'll get on the Internet and look up Columbus, Indiana, because they've heard of it for some reason or whatever. And then they look up the local newspaper, and if that's in the front page of the local newspaper, they're going to think, do we really want to go there? So, yeah, it affects economic development. How much? We don't know, and we're going to find out. But, you know, the more diverse you can be, I think the better off you are. It doesn't work for every community that way. But for us, it has, and, you know, we want to continue in that direction. It's hard telling what the schools are going to do because, let's face it, the schools are in budget crunches also, and they have to look what's best for them. And we'll see if German comes in second or not. I've got a feeling they'll continue that language and add Mandarin also because we are getting into a large number of Chinese people living in Columbus, and that's great.
And that is a big component of economic development.
It certainly is. I mean, about everything's economic development. Depends on the way you want to look at it. For example, I still think if a new physician moves into your community, that's economic development, because normally a physician has a pretty decent income. They buy a nice home. They buy cars. They buy clothes. They go to schools. They do this. And so, you know, that's economic development. It just depends how big you want to make it.
All righty. I want to turn to this email that we got before we began recording the program. And this listener wants to know about Evergreen Village. Please give us an update on Evergreen Village, on construction of the first set of homes, and the number that have been sold at this point.
Well, I wish I knew how many were sold. I know there are several that have been pre-sold. So far, I've talking to with the developers, everything is going along as smooth as possible. They have really talked to a lot of people and a lot of interested people. It's going to be a unique development, and I think it's going to be something that's going to be in the future. We'll see more of this. So
maybe you could explain for folks who are not familiar with what exactly it is.
Well, it's a development, housing type development for seniors.
Right.
And you have to be a certain age to live there. And this one happens to be sort of gated, semi-gated community. But, you know, they're also opening up to the general public. You know, they want people to come and look at them. They're going to have some models open. It's just sort of unique to Columbus because we've never had this before. Is it going to work? Sure, it's going to work. Now, will it work as quickly as the developers feel it will? Yeah, probably will, but that's yet to be seen. But I know they've had some commitments from people, and you know, the prices are fairly reasonable, whatever that means. You're talking probably $160,000 to $220,000 range to own these, so that's not out of line. We're still building in Columbus. You know, the housing market supposedly has fallen, but we still have housing developments going here, and a lot more people interested in looking at other developments. So this is going to be a unique development. I'm going to be interested in going out. I know the people who are doing this are just wanting to do it perfect because they want more of these. So if they do a great job here, then the future may benefit them for a long time to come.
Seems to me like this is also tying in. I don't mean to sort of harp on the same note, but it seems to me that this is also a significant sort of part of economic development that a lot of communities are talking about, senior and retirement villages, or at least senior and retirement populations, as one area of possible expansion in the future.
Well, it is. I mean, you know,
and it changes the complexion of the community in some
sense. Sure, it does. You know, and that is our largest growing population. You know, IR1. So you know, you gotta hang in there, and it's one of those things that they buy things, they pay property taxes. They go to movies, they go to the clothing stores, they go to our grocery stores. I mean, there are health care issues sometimes. They visit physicians and hospitals, and it's over, I guess it's overall very good for a community. Mm-hmm. And people are living longer, which is great. So I think a few of these are going to pop up. In fact, we're talking to one developer right now about another senior housing project that's going to be unique for Columbus also, and we're just in the talking stages now, so when that comes to pass, that might be a good thing to bring up at a later date on the show.
That's right. We've got this new development, Sunset Cove, too, coming up, right?
Yes, Sunset Cove. That was passed last night. That's going to be a very nice development. Wonderful homes. I think they're going to be between $200,000 and $250,000, mm-hmm, in a beautiful area. I mean, it's...
And again, catering to seniors.
Catering to seniors, absolutely. And seniors like to be catered to occasionally. You know, we like that. We like that. That's so, you know, it's just unique. And I think not only in Columbus, you're going to see this throughout many, many communities. And a lot of people now are, for example, Cummins people who their parents are living elsewhere. They're getting old enough now that they want to move a little closer to their kids to be with them, and their kids want them close to them so they can help. So all this is a huge benefit, and that's another reason we need a bigger senior center and a better senior center, because all this is about economic development and trying to help people. Have them, you know, go to the senior center and have, you know, physical fitness programs, mm-hmm, and have them meet people and have them do things. And
quality of life.
Oh yeah, I mean it is. It's a quality of life issue that we take for granted in Columbus, but for the most part, I think it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Let's shift a little bit. Talk about something else that went before council last night, and that's the future of the Commons. It seems like there's a story every day about what's going to go on with the Commons. And,
yeah.
I know that. I mean, obviously, that's a centerpiece of the community. So what's the city's take on what ought to happen with that, and how far is the city going to go in terms of committing financial resources?
Sure. Well, this has been a process that we thought was going to take 10 years, to be quite honest with you, but certain things happened that sped things up a little bit with some private investment downtown. But it looks as though right now, and this is so far, it's all on a piece of paper and it's not in the bank yet, but it looks as though the Commons will be torn down from Jackson Street, the whole block on east to Washington Street in downtown Columbus. And we don't know how much of the framework will be saved, if any. But it looks as though the developer is looking at, of course, the Candlewood Suites. That's a given. Some additional retail with a conference center. Also with some office space, and then there's going to be a larger playground that people wanted that. There's going to be a larger area on the second floor for what we have now is the Commons, for meetings, banquets, or whatever. So those are the things that are happening, and we have private investment along with public investment, along with money given by foundations and people. So this is approximately an $18 million feat just for our part, just the city's part.
Holy cow.
Well, it's going to be nice, but people want it nice. Mm-hmm. So we're looking right now at potentially bonding about $6 million of that, a third of it, and we're looking to foundations and other avenues of escape, I guess, for funding. So that'll be taken care of, and you know, we've been blessed with some foundations in the community who know how important this is for quality of life issues. And that's what this is about also. So we're looking at more retail, more people. In fact, yesterday there was a gentleman from New York City who's in the real estate business that said, my goodness, most downtowns are doing nothing, and look what you people are doing. You got an exciting hotel going up over here. You got a parking garage here. It looks as though in the near future you're going to be having another hotel. So there are a lot of things going on, plus the potentiality of an indoor sports arena. So all of this is happening. It hasn't happened yet. The trigger hasn't been pulled. But we waited and took our time because we wanted to know what citizens wanted, and we're listening to them, what they want.
What you make reference to, the trigger hasn't been pulled, but what? When does this all really kick into gear? When does this really start happening?
Last night. Well, December the 31st of this year, there's going to be a huge going-away party for the Commons. And the lights will be shut out on January the 1st. Now, Sears part, they're staying right where they are. That facade will all be renovated. There'll be a new entry to Sears. Of course, again, Jackson Street. That's all going to take place pretty quick-like. The problem that we have is this happens so quickly, we do not have the definite design yet of the public space. So while that hotel is being built, we know the part that is our space, and we will design around that and make sure it all fits together. People, actually, the architects are talking to each other. They're listening to what's going on. So it'll be a great benefit for the city, and I know there'll be a few people that won't like it. We have those in every community. And then there'll be others that are just ecstatic. Every place I go, I hear, oh, this is going to be great for Columbus, and we can't wait till the hotels open up. And so you got to think positive. It's taken a lot of time and a lot of effort to get to this point.
It's just difficult for me to get my head around two things. One is the intersection of public versus private, these two spaces that are basically on the same space. Mm-hmm. And how you integrate those two things. And the other thing is just thinking about the Commons as the sort of central point of community gathering in Columbus. And as that's under construction and renovation, I guess I shouldn't use the word renovation, but as that's undergoing reconstruction, what do people do?
Well, that is going to be a tough thing. In fact, last night at the council meeting, it just happened that there were a lot of high school students there. And they were there for two reasons. Number one, for class, for government. And two was, I think they're interested because that the prom's been held at the Commons since about 1975 or so. And now it's not going to be held there. Now, number one, it's not my responsibility, but number two is we're wanting to build something that's going to be nicer for those students when their time comes. Now, I know I've received two emails from parents. You know, my daughter or my son's a senior, and that you're going to tear the Commons down, what will we do, and blah, blah. Well, you know, it is a tough thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, progress sometimes has to step in the way, and good things will happen. There will be a prom. I think sometimes the parents are more concerned than the kids are. I know my wife's already said, well, Fred, good grief, I always go down and watch those kids going to the prom. She says, it's one of the nice events. I love it, and it's great. Huh. I said, well, yeah, but it'll be held somewhere where you can do the same thing, but it'll be a different location temporarily, or maybe they'll enjoy it so much they won't want to change wherever it's going to be. So I think the school will take care of that. The kids will have a prom. Everybody will have a great time.
Those of us who drive over from Bloomington and surrounding communities for the monthly dance will have a place to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's going to be exciting, and I know that there have been so many people who have volunteered hundreds and hundreds of hours to this community to see that this is done correctly, that it will be. And I'm assuring people of that, and I know people will enjoy it at the end of the day.
Now, this is obviously a central part of a much larger project and the whole Vision 2020 thing. And what's the timeline for the downtown renovation overall? I mean, where are we in that process?
Well, I'm going to give you a swag. I'm going to give you a guess that if we're talking just about the 4th and Washington Street arena, you're talking 2010 for completion. If you're talking our sports part, that may be or may not be delayed, because right now we're also at the same time moving our sewage treatment plant out of downtown, where the potentiality is for some other housing development, potential office development to continue. So that may go on to 2012, 2013, long after I'm gone. But there's a plan. If the next mayor and the next city council wants to continue that, that's great. If they don't, they'll have an option to go another way. So we'll have the plan laid out, and we'll have it laid out so financially it will work. And that's the main thing. You don't want to do something that's going to be irresponsible. So, but right now there's so many people excited about the downtown, including developers. I can't tell you. Maybe the next time we're on, I can give you some more information. Maybe not you, by the way.
You say that every single month, though. You say,
well, I do, because those things are going on. And, you know, we'll know probably this week or next week on the indoor sports arena. We're also going to know about another project within the next couple weeks. So, you know, you're leaving too early. Well, you need to stick around another month or so.
That would be
but
nice.
By the way, while we're on that subject, it's been great to be with you on this program. You've been very kind, and it's very interesting, and you have a lot of great questions and comments, and we'll miss you, and the best of luck to you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I've been very grateful for your assistance with this program, and we always appreciate your time. So thank you. For those who wonder, what in the heck is that crazy old mayor talking about, I'll be leaving WFIU at the end of the month, and so this is my last chance to visit with the mayor, and I do appreciate the time that he spent with us. Let me just ask you a question about your future.
Sure.
You were just you're one of the 50% or so of mayors who were reelected in Indiana this past election, and you've said that it would be the last time that you would run for mayor. What else is in your future? I mean, as you wrap up this term, are you shutting out any political office, or what are you thinking?
Well, I don't shut out any political office. Right now, it will not be a mayor's job. It's time to move on and let somebody else step in. But, you know, I don't know yet. I've got a lot of people asking me about certain things and certain positions, and I haven't made that decision because right now I'm focused on downtown and get that accomplished. But I think within the next year and a half, 2 years, I'll be making a decision on what I want to do in the future. And who knows? It may be continue to be in politics of some sort, or it may be in the private arena, or it may be nothing at all. You know, it's just one of those things. But I'm as long as I'm healthy and I feel good, and this is I know people think this is really hokey, but I feel just as good and excited as when I took over on January the 1st in 1996. And I know that sounds weird, but it's true. It's just an exciting time for Columbus, and I feel really energized, and if I feel the same way 4 years from now, I may take on another task. We'll just have to wait and see.
And your wife doesn't have a problem with you doing that? She's not ready for you to stay
home?
Oh, I didn't
say that. No, I didn't say that. In fact, she probably doesn't know I'm saying this right now. But I know what she's going to do. She's already told me, big boy, at the end of this term, I'm done. So you do what you want to do. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, you never know. I'm just not going to stop. I just I enjoy working as long as I'm healthy and can do so. I want to make some type of a commitment and make a difference somewhere. So that's where we'll keep it.
I appreciate that. Now, we've only got about 30 seconds or so left, but I wondered, as this is the last program of 2007, name a couple of things you want to see happen for the city in 2008.
I want it to be the safest community in the United States. I want people to be re-energized about their community, and I want everybody just to have a great year for, and not only in our community, but everyone. I know that sounds a little bit goofy, too, but let me tell you, we need that. We all need that, and I just wish the very best for everybody, including our great city of Columbus.
All righty, Mayor. Well, good luck with your holiday card folding and with your luncheon this afternoon. Hope you have a good holiday season, and again, thank you so much for your time here on the program.
Thank you, Will. Happy holidays to you, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. We've been visiting with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. I'm Will Murphy. Join us again next week when we have Ask the Mayor with Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Berg. For Engineer Mike Pashkash, I'm Will Murphy. Thanks for listening.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.